On the Big Breakfast Catch-Up with Claresy, Matt and Kimber, we asked, how do you deal with your kids playing violent video games?
We got some crazy ex-revenge stories from you.
We talked to the leader of our lucky country, Big Mal.
And we had a catch-up with the lovely Delta Goodrum.
To give your mental health a boost, see brainwellnessspa.com.au.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Claresy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
And the last time we spoke with the lovely Delta Goodrum, I gave an intro that went for about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was full of glowing things, as it should be, but we all know who you are. She's absolutely awesome. Will you please welcome the wonderful Delta Goodrum? Good morning.
Oh, thank you so much. Good morning.
I had to make sure he
did. Still lovely.
I had to make sure he didn't do it again, Delta. We barely got time to talk to you last time.
I feel like it's in alignment with where I'm at the moment. I'm just like, yeah, here's the song, guys.
That's great.
Well, Delta, it is the 15th anniversary of the release of Innocent Eyes, your first album that launched your career. I mean, how has music changed for you in that time? Is your creative process still the same?
I mean, I've definitely, yeah, I guess my creative process is the same. I mean, it's had different incarnations, but at the moment I still seed the idea, no matter, even if the production's different, I still do start at the piano. I definitely go to my workspace and work from that place, or just kind of keep you, when you're a little bit more open to listening to little nuggets during the day that someone might say that rings true to you, and then you want to write about it, for sure.
And Delta, think about you, obviously.
For 15 years, God.
I know.
That's crazy.
That went quick.
Yeah, it certainly does.
It really does go quick, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, the single Think About You, the question will be asked, who is Delta thinking
about? I know. Well, I mean, it would be so reminiscent of me not to say, like, it really is about, like, when somebody wants to say it to the person that they're thinking about. If I said somebody, I don't want them picturing poor person. But I genuinely didn't actually completely have somebody in mind. Maybe it was an inspiration. There was definitely inspiration where I was like, that's an interesting thought for a song. That I was with these two songwriters, Julian and John, and they were in town, and I'd actually just finished filming the Olivia project.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't really even thought, after Wings of the World, I hadn't really thought about even thinking about what the next album was. After five albums, I sort of just, I don't know, the balloon kind of, I sort of let the air out a bit and was like, oh, you know what, there was so much gravity on every record that I felt when I went into this writing session, I was weirdly like, yeah, whatever. Like, I haven't come in with loads of concepts today. I just want to sit at the piano and jam and just have fun. And that's where the song kind of came from.
And I mean, when you're part of probably having fun, when you're deciding which tracks to release on an album, how do you listen to them for you? Is it in the car with the windows down, or do you put yourself in a quiet soundproof studio with the volume up? Like, does the way you hear the track change it for you?
That's a really good question. I don't think anyone's ever actually asked me that. It's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit like a horse race. This sounds funny, but you kind of see if it lasts for a second, like behind, because I can write a song and personally feel connected to it, but I also have great friends who I've had since school who have no interest in telling me if they like it, if they don't, you know, they, and I'll also notice just, it's like market research with your friends and people around you where you go, you'll play it to them and it's really interesting. I've definitely, like, when I played them Wings and when I played them like this song, I don't ever say much. I'll just send it like on my WhatsApp or my group and I'll be like, hey guys, let me know what you think of this one. And everybody will kind of react and genuinely listen, or they'll just be like, that's nice, Delts. You know, and everyone is, you know. So really it's them who choose. But this one actually wasn't even, I definitely have my time where I kind of visually imagine it in my head, like what if I see that this is the next feeling I want to kind of put out into the world. But this one wasn't so much driven by me, even just when I played it to the label and everyone kind of freaked out and I was like, oh, that's okay, cool, great.
Mm.
And everyone was like, let's put it out. I was like, all right. I didn't, even though I mean, obviously I still take great thought in what I do with music. It was definitely a little bit more driven by other people connecting to the song.
Oh, no, that was a headline just there. Delta doesn't care what she does. Yeah. Delta doesn't care about the music anymore.
Really,
let's tear her apart on social media.
Oh, it's the new thing for everybody. It's definitely not just me.
Oh. Well, the reaction,
it's a headache.
The reaction's already fantastic. The press release I'm looking at says it's a beautiful, weird, horny jam. So, yeah.
I mean, whatever gets you going.
What more can you do?
If that person's into it, great.
Hey, Delta, so lovely to speak to you and so glad I kept my intro short so we could actually talk more.
Oh, you're so kind. I appreciate any intro by you. Thank you.
Best of luck and see you soon.
Lots of love, guys.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Pour some sugar on me or pour some Splendor on me if you're on a diet. It's the Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. I'll leave the jokes to Clarzy from now on. Hey, this morning we're asking, when did you take revenge on your ex? And it comes off the back of this story, Barnaby Joyce's estranged wife, Natalie. It's an awful word, estranged, isn't it? But is being encouraged to run against Barnaby Joyce for the seat of New England in what can only be seen as revenge.
Sometimes you've just got to walk away.
Yes.
But not until you serve some sweet revenge. Lewis is in Kelmscott. Lewis, how did you get revenge on an ex?
Well, it was a friend of mine had it on him, and his girlfriend went into his house, and whilst he wasn't there, destroyed his entire wardrobe of clothes, whichever way you wanted to look at it, shoes, clothes, suits, ties, socks, the lot.
Yeah.
Then she went to his liquor cabinet, which was extensive, and emptied the lot in the swimming pool.
Oh.
Then she filled the bathtub with water and all the electronics that he had went in the bathtub.
Oh,
whoa.
Boy.
Whoa. Yep. Wow, she was angry.
Yeah, what it was, he had been out two nights earlier to a function, and she was invited but refused to go because she was annoyed with him on something.
Yeah.
He'd paid a lot of money for the ticket, so he took somebody else. And it was just taking somebody else because he bought the tickets.
Mm.
And he couldn't help himself but get a photograph taken with the other girl.
Mm.
And it's time printed where the event was and all the rest of it. And he left that lying around. So she'd gone in, saw what was on the photograph and said, "Dirty dog, I'll get you."
Wow. That...
And we certainly don't encourage that behaviour.
No,
it is terrible, but far out.
No, you don't empty booze. Take it with you. Put it in the boot, for God's sake.
Kylie's in Valdivis. Kylie, how did your friend get revenge?
Oh, hi there. So her ex-partner, she found out, was cheating on her.
Yeah.
So she didn't tell him. She knew, and she arranged a romantic night at his place. It was actually snowing at the time in the UK. So first of all, she and him had a few drinks and she convinced him to go outside into the street and run naked in the snow.
Right.
He filmed it. And then later when he was in bed, she actually sewed pieces of fish into the hems of his carpet. And it was several weeks until he identified where the smell was coming from. By that time, the relationship was well and truly over and she felt she'd got her revenge.
Oh. See,
she filmed the snow incident and posted it all onto his social media.
Okay.
Oh, see, it's the fish thing that gets me.
Yes.
Anyone who puts smells anywhere, because once they're in your nostrils, they're pretty hard to get out, aren't they?
So into the carpet or the curtains, Kylie?
Even the hems of his curtains.
So yeah, the curtains.
Weeks.
Oh.
Gross. Okay.
Oh, God.
Honestly, it makes you never break up with anyone.
Well, it makes me never want to buy fish.
Yeah. Shane's in Falcon. Shane, everyone's saying it's their friend because it wouldn't be us, of course. How did your friend get revenge?
Well, she got revenge on her own girlfriend for getting with her ex.
Yeah.
And she went around and put hair removal cream in a shampoo bottle.
Oh, did it work?
Yeah, a little bit. She got a bit blotchy. She had to do a bit of a comb over. I think she made her things known.
Ashley and Martin.
If nothing else, this inspires me to never wrong a person.
No.
Don't wrong anybody. This is terrible behaviour.
Oh, God. Hair removal cream. And how quickly do you reckon that works? Like, is it the next day or is it over a few weeks?
No, I think the next day she has to get a bit clumpy.
Oh, really?
Oh,
oh yeah. Wow. Some angry, angry people out there, Shane. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, it is. Thanks,
God.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Kimber, it is time that we headed to our nation's capital to talk to our supreme leader, Big Mal. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Matthew, and hello to you, Kimber. Of course, you're a rudderless vessel today without Clarzy at the helm, but you put on your big boy pants today, young Matthew.
I'm doing my best.
To guide the ship. Good on you.
Thank you.
Good guy.
We weren't sure if we were going to check in with you, Big Mal. You've been so loose of late, but we thought, why not? I mean, we need to turn to a proper leader so we know what's going on in this country.
Absolutely, Kimber. I concur wholeheartedly.
Now, look, Big Mal, what is your takeaway from the South Australian election?
Well, that's the last of Jay Weatherill. Mm. The Labor government wanted 75% renewables in South Australia and they got voted out. And we, Kimber, are taking it as a mandate to burn coal. To burn coal till the planet flames out so we can leave all the lights on and everything looks pretty. So you're looking from outer space. It's all glowing and lovely. I like it when all the lights are on at the Piper. It fills my heart with joy.
Well, sir, you know, conversely, the election result, the by-election result in Batman in Victoria, not so good for your side.
Well, it makes me laugh every time I hear that electorate. We've got an electorate called Batman. Well, the Greens lost, Matthew, and we didn't get a superhero because the Liberals didn't run a candidate. But my advice to the Greens always remains the same. Wash yourselves. Rubbing your genitals with a crystal isn't personal hygiene. And why do you always have to drive Subaru Foresters? I mean, really and truly. And another thing, putting up Tibetan prayer flags outside your rental just looks untidy. Doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does. Nobody knows what they mean. Who speaks Tibetan? I don't.
Well, and we've just hosted the ASEAN Summit. What
Did
was
we?
Achieved from that? Yeah, we didn't even know it was happening. We leave that up to you, Big Mal.
You mean, when you say ASEAN, you mean the Association of Southeast Asian Nations.
That's the one.
Yes, I had meaningful talks with Myanmar's Aung San Suu Kyi, Laos, Songlu, Sisalus, and of course, Indonesia's Joko Widodo. And so my main achievement was pronouncing everybody's name correctly. Yeah. I really enjoy it. Mind you, I preferred it when Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono was the president of Indonesia. So we all came to meaningful resolution. It was terrific.
And, sir, were there a lot of selfies going on with those world leaders? And is that dignified, seeing our leaders taking selfies?
Well, I think it's fine, Matthew. And, yes, so there were a lot of selfies. You know, you follow me on Insta.
I do.
And the selfie I took with Donald Trump and Xi Jinping recently got 100 likes.
Goodness me.
Absolutely. I'm right on top of it. My socials are going nuts. Xi might be a despot ruling his nation with an iron fist, but he loves a selfie. Same with Vladimir Putin. Poisonous spy and his daughter in London. Love a Snapchat. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do as a leader, just as long as you get on your socials and have a good time.
Now, Big Mal, what's been playing in the Bentley? What have you been singing?
Well, I know that you're a big James Blunt fan. Can I say that correctly? James Blunt fan. And I like singing this one to Lucy. You're beautiful. Wow, I nearly got us taken off the air there.
Nearly.
James Blunt fan. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. It's true. I saw your face in a crowded place and I don't know what to do because I'll never be with you.
Oh, a crooner.
Beautiful.
Before I go, I just want to say the Mix 94.5 rocks Hillary's. Get out there. Enjoy your water sports and your wealth. Bye now.
Thanks, Big Mal.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Kimber, we're talking about, well, a particular video game, but I guess any violent video games.
Yeah, Fortnite, which is Battle Royale. It's basically a game where people are parachuted into an area where they find weapons and then it's the last man standing.
Kill
you just kill
killed.
As many people as you can.
Mm.
And my friend has banned her son from playing it.
Okay.
He's not allowed anymore. And we wanted to know how you're dealing with kids playing violent video games. Renee's in Hamilton Hill. Renee, how's it working out for your son?
Hi. So, look, I think it's very, very challenging actually trying to punish your kids for behaviour caused by, I think, the exposure to these types of games. And as I was explaining, I don't think it's actually just the exposure to the games, but also the Wi-Fi that most of these kids are sitting amongst while they're playing the game, right?
What's your experience been, Renee? Are you noticing anything with your son playing the game?
Absolutely. We notice, my husband and I need to basically discipline him by taking away his right to have either a phone, an iPad, however it might be that he plays the game.
Mm.
Because if he's away in his room for a couple of hours, and he's only 13, if he's in his room for a couple of hours playing Fortnite or any of those other ones that are online, they're not only playing the violence, but they're actually with other people talking online and stuff. So it really feels to them like they're a part of it. So that talking, when he comes out of his room, we actually get that from him as well. We get a little bit, we get a short temper. He kind of raises his voice at us. And you actually notice it. It's really, really vivid when they've been closed in a room for 2 hours and when they come out and communicate with you.
Yep.
It affects them. I really believe it affects them.
Yeah, and what about the argument that connection that he's having with others is healthy? In I guess that's the way we do it in this modern world.
It's scary. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I never had such, like, I can even tell his urgency to get back to that environment. You know, it's horrible. I really feel like it does control them. But having said this, with us, when we take away a day of his game time because of his behaviour, we definitely do notice he's a really beautiful kid, and we know that anyway, obviously.
Yeah.
But you see the change instantly. It's really frightening for us, I think, you know, compared to what we were exposed to as kids. I wasn't in that much of a hurry to get back to my Commodore 64. I just wasn't.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting, Renee. Thank you very much for sharing that story.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's go to Rose in Camillo. Rose, how about for you? How do you deal with the kids playing violent video games?
Well, I definitely agree with Renee. It's a behaviour issue, I think, more than a violence thing, and they do get angry when you take their games away from them, or you tell them, you know, it's time to get off now.
Mm.
But Rose, would we have had that when my mum was like, get off your bike, stop riding through the streets, hurry up and come home? Didn't we have that same sort of reaction?
Not really. I think that we were out in the fresh air and, you know, getting exercise and all that kind of thing, and we would be tired.
Mm.
you know, climbing trees and playing with the kids up the street more than, you know, the kids these days. They don't tire. They just sit there for hours on end and half the night playing these games.
Yeah.
So I'd had enough of my son's behavioural problems and getting angry and all the issues that it was causing. So I smashed the console and he's never had another one since.
Really? So you really make that connection between his behaviour and the games?
Definitely. Mm. And the thing is, you know, we pay a lot of money for these games.
Sure.
Not cheap. They're expensive, and then to for your children to sort of treat you the way that they do when you tell them, you know, that enough's enough.
Yeah.
Well, you don't deserve it, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Rose, I'm sure too that the irony wasn't lost on him that you smashed the console in anger.
Gee, Mum's angry.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.
Take care of your mental well-being. See brainwellnessspa.com.au.